Hello, this is Dave, and you are listening to Bonzai Retro Club. Can you dig it? This is a part two episode of the 2017 wrap-up podcast. So if you are listening to this before listening to part one, the conversation may not make a lot of sense to you. I would suggest you stop here, go back, listen to part one, so you can catch up as to what we are chatting about, and that way it's less confusing. So please do that if you have not already. The other thing we want to make sure you understand is that over on our website, bonsairetroclub.com, there are links that you can purchase podcast merchandise. So if you are a fan of Bonsai Retro Club, we do have some items out there now with a new logo that we had just created for t-shirts and hoodies and pillows and even phone cases, if that's what you're into. So please go out there and check out our website, which has links to all those great stuff. If you're also looking to just support us in our podcast and blog endeavors, we have a link on the website for our Patreon. So please check that out. And if you want to donate a little something to help us keep things running around here, that would be really awesome. We want to thank you for being part of the club and enjoy the show.
You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
You want to move on to the movie?
Moving on to the movie. What, Three Men and a Baby?
Yeah. Three Men and a Baby. Did you guys see this?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And every time I think of this movie, I do-do-do-do-do. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go.
Do-do-do-do-do. Yeah.
I got to look this up because I only saw it once.
Yeah, I think I saw it maybe a couple times back, probably in reruns. Once I saw it through, I don't know, I probably rented the video or something. But it was entertaining. You know, Ted Danson was popular at the time. Tom Selleck was popular at the time. And Steven Guttenberg was definitely popular at the time between, you know, him with Cocoon and the Police Academy series.
Yeah. I'm sure that was
Cheers, and you know, it had there was definitely at the time an all-star cast. Ted Danson, kind of, you know, after Cheers, kind of was a little more quiet. Tom Selleck went on to do quite a few things. Loved him in the series Blue Bloods. Blue Bloods is one of my favorite series of all time.
Blue Bloods is great. Awesome. Love awesome Blue show. Bloods.
And then Steven Gutenberg, he kind of fell off the map after, you know, his stint in the 80s. I really haven't seen anything from him much after that.
Well, he played the stepdad in Santa Claus, didn't he? Oh, no, that's Judd Reinhold. Sorry. I always get those two mixed up for Steven. Why? Don't know. They're not interchangeable. They really aren't. But you're right.
No, Judge Reinhold's like 4 or 5 inches taller than Steve Gutenberg.
Possibly. Yeah. I remember this being a cute movie. I'm trying to think who the mom was. Nancy Travis the mom?
Nancy Travis, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Because her and Ted Danson went on to do something later in the 2000s. He was like a doctor or something, and she worked at a coffee shop. It was kind of neat that the two of them got back together.
It was a well-done movie. It was fun. It was a totally new concept.
Yeah, it was, especially for the 80s.
But there's a lot of fun little, you know, cute little lines, and it was family-friendly for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm not surprised it was a big hit back then. So.
Yeah. I think they went on to do, was it 3 Men and a Little Lady or something?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, they spawned a sequel. So.
Yeah. Which, watching the first one, you would have never thought that they would be able, that they would actually be able to do like a sequel. Like you wouldn't see it coming, right?
Yeah. No, you couldn't because. Yeah. Yeah. Couldn't wait for this one to be over. But, you know, just it's a mom thing. I'm not saying it was a horrible movie. It's just a mom thing, okay? Because I'm going to stereotype motherhood here because it's, you know, babies are a mom thing, and men don't have that. They're more baby-centric now. You know, I see a lot of, you know, 25, 30-year-olds that are, like, totally into their kids. But, you know, back then, it was still like, you know, if you were a mom, you stayed at home, or if you worked, you know, the kids went to a sitter, and the dad, you know, went to work. But to have three of them, you know, because I think you needed three of them to take care of one baby, because babies are baffling, you know, even to the smartest person. So it's like, you never know what they're going to do. So to have some of the top men in Hollywood, you know, I wonder who was in the room to pitch that one. Okay, so you guys are all, you know, amazing people and you're professionals, and you find a baby on your doorstep, and now you have to take care of it until the mom shows up. It's just like, how long is the mom going to be gone? Well, we don't know. We'll write that in later, but... You know, just let the concept sink in for a minute. You know, you're just thinking, holy crap. No. So.
It sounds like I know the most, or I remember the most from this movie. Actually happened was Ted Danson's character, he is an actor, and he, you know, I guess it was his baby. And all of a sudden it was like showed up on the doorstep, didn't realize he was a father. And then all of a sudden it was like, no one knew that this was going to, you know, the baby was going to show up. And he's like off on location somewhere. And his roommates, being Tom Selleck and Steve Guttenberg, you know, they're like, you know, he like calls them up and says, hey, you know, I'm getting this package. Just put it off to the side, you know, and then, you know, all of a sudden it turns out to be a baby. You know, and it's just, hilarity ensues. And it's such an interesting pairing of these gentlemen, you know, Steve Guttenberg, Ted Danson, Tom Selleck. And each one of them, with their characters in this movie, were just so, it was such a diverse group of professionals, because Steve Guttenberg was more of the artist. Tom Selleck was like a architect of sorts. Ted Danson being an actor, and somehow, you know, the three of them were living together, and, you know, just having, you know, the roommate kind of thing, and then all of a sudden this baby gets thrown in the middle of it. And one of the funniest lines was, you know, once they've kind of gotten used to having this baby around, you know, they're getting into taking turns with taking care of the baby. And it was like, the baby had a poop. And it was like, all right, well, the baby pooped and, you know, it's your turn to take care of it. And he's looking at Tom Selleck's character and he's like, well, I'll give you $100 to take care of it. You know, it's like you could hear a professional man like that who's like an architect to go, I just can't deal with that. Just here, just have $100, take care of it. But it's just a funny movie.
It was funny, entertaining, but completely unrealistic because there's no way that three men could ever live up to this to the level of what a mother can give.
True. Very true.
No way. So that's a shout out to all moms out there, by the way. And this is not a mom's, you know, Mother's Day episode. I'm just saying. moms are awesome. And thank you for being.
Dads are awesome, too.
And it just, you know, everybody has their own, their different roles. And dads have a different way of being a parent than moms do. And it's cool. Anyway, so the only thing that I found really unrealistic about this movie was that these three guys were living together. Like as professionals, if they're really like, they look like they're in their late 30s. Like if you look at the pictures, they look like they're in their either late 30s, early to mid 40s even. Where do they live? They had like an amazing house, actually.
Maybe that's how they were able to afford it. I don't know.
Yeah, but it just doesn't seem realistic that three guys would be rooming up at this age.
Yeah.
And none of them have had kids before. And I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm tearing apart.
No, that's a really good point to bring up because people need to know that just didn't happen, you know, back in the day. It's plausible now.
They all would have had their own places, realistically. Yeah. But it was funny. It was a sitcom, basically, that was drawn out into, you know, an hour and whatever minutes, hour and 42 minutes. It was a sitcom. It was a long sitcom that, you know, hey, what would happen if these three guys had to have take care of a baby? This is what happened. So, anyway. All right.
Something I didn't realize until just now, looking at the IMDb page, is Leonard Nimoy directed it.
Leonard Nimoy, yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Yes.
A nice little shout out to Star Trek.
Yes.
Awesome. Maybe
that's actually done. He's actually done quite a few movies that most people don't know that he was part of.
Yeah,
and they're family friendly and he's been involved with a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and just to throw something in there, just because we mentioned him, Steve Guttenberg actually was in a movie last year called.
Oh, Africa. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, he played. Let's see, he played Alan. So there you go.
Alan. Okay. Cool. Alan. Al.
All right, so that leads us to the top show for 1987 being The Cosby Show.
The Cosby Show.
What was that? Is that a cough?
I think so. I think he didn't get a chance to mute it in time.
Yeah, it didn't mute us in time.
I apologize. I really tried to
strangling a duck there, bud.
Sometimes it really comes on so fast that I apologize. I tried.
No, you're
I
fine. Tried. A tablespoon of honey will help that.
You know what? I'm not kidding. this sounds like a cop out, but we are fresh out of honey.
Why is that a cop out?
I don't know.
What the hell, Scott? Go get some honey.
Like, I don't know. It doesn't seem like it's a normal staple that you would have in your house. It's just honey.
Well,
we do. We have it all the time. We try to get local honey. because Chrissy's allergies are affected by local wildlife or plant wildlife.
Yeah. No.
I'm on you know, cold medication. Just don't pay attention to what I'm saying.
Get some local clover honey.
Yes. Local. Oh, clover's big really good.
Big old tablespoon, and just eat it. Right before you go to bed. That.
Chrissy does that almost nightly. But
there you go.
She just had the last of the honey last night, and I've been using it in my tea. The last couple nights I've been having hot tea because of my throat and my chest and all that stuff. So, anyway,
You brought up hot tea. I got a story about hot tea. Go ahead.
That's funny.
Yeah, it is.
Funny how, what, am I a comedian? Am I a clown? Yeah. Am I here to amuse you?
I just think it's funny that you're sparing on NyQuil.
God, I hope not. It's lethal.
No, it's not.
NyQuil used to be like 25% alcohol. Nobody believes me.
I still take NyQuil.
25% alcohol.
That's right, baby.
Under it now.
That's right,
baby. That's like two shots and you're down for the count.
And that's exactly why I take it, because I just want to knock myself out at night when I feel like this.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
You know?
I think we're stalling.
Are we going way off topic for Cosby Show?
Cosby's.
You know, I'm gonna jump in first then with the Cosby Show. And there's something's been happening as we've gotten older. And the Cosby Show is a perfect example of this. This is back in the 80s. I loved this show. I thought it was well done. I enjoyed watching it. It was humorous. Had a thing for Lisa Bonet. Everything was great in the world. It was just a different family style sitcom that just really had an interesting perspective, where you had an African American perspective versus like Family Ties or Silver Spoons or any of those other things. So I thought, you know, this is great, you know, and I enjoyed back in the 80s. But now, as I've gotten older, and unfortunately, my heroes, the people that I had, you know, put onto a pedestal back in the 80s, be it Hulk Hogan, be it, Bill Cosby, their latter-day sins have tainted these memories of mine.
Yeah.
And so the Cosby Show used to be a good thing for me, but now because of what Bill Cosby has become, I'm like, I don't know if I really even want to like that anymore. And it's unfortunate. It is completely unfortunate. But that's me soapboxing. Like I said, back in the 80s though, I love this. And I thought, you know, being, what was it, Thursday Night TV, when that came on, that was the thing. That was the bomb.
It was.
Yeah.
My love of Bill Cosby goes back way further than the Cosby Show. When he was part of I Spy in the 60s, and he was the other half of the duo, and I liked watching that show, not necessarily for the context, but he always had the best lines, and he was always funny, and he was, you know, good looking too, but he seemed like the other guy was like a straight guy, or they would play off each other. And then of course in the 70s you got Fat Albert, and then all the stand-ups that he did, and then
Bill Cosby himself was hilarious.
Yeah
And
the stories that he told about his kids and his wife, Camille, and his family, it's just freaking hysterical. I mean, this is real life that people are talking about. And then you fast forward to now, you know, of course, you know, you got that whole horrible incident when his son was killed on the freeway by a drive-by shooting, you know, and he had to deal with all that. I'm not saying that anything that he did in his own personal life, I'm not commending him for it. Don't think that I am. But it's like you say, you get to this point to where now he's like, what, 80, 90, and his past has come back to haunt him. And it's very disheartening, you know, because you see all this talent and all this creativity and all these things that he did to bring joy to millions. And except there's this one little flaw he had, you know, that basically was a huge flaw.
Yeah.
And how he managed to keep it hidden for so long, I'll never know. Because that's, well, you're seeing what happens now with, you know, everything that's going on in Hollywood and how this is all starting to fall apart. And you can't look to the right or left without saying, this person was accused of sexual harassment today. They no longer have their job. They replaced a whole movie scene. They took all of Kevin Spacey's scenes out of a whole entire movie and replaced him with somebody else. And it's just like, you know, this has been going on forever. Rosemary, you know, before she died, talked about this, you know, with her movie, Wait for the Laugh. You know, she was waiting for that documentary to come out. And she talked about that back in the 50s, you know, in the 40s and the 50s when she was up and coming. And
right,
how
a lot of roles Van Dyke cheated. Show and all that stuff.
Yeah, because she wouldn't play ball. Bad analogy, but it's true, you know.
Well, she was a
and
badass. Starting,
yeah, she totally was a badass. And it's just, it's a shame. You know, people that have that kind of clout, that have that kind of power, you know, take advantage for their own reasons, their own pleasure, their own satisfaction, and expect nothing to happen from it. So it makes all of this stuff that we talk about seem pointless.
Yeah.
I don't know. Unless someone else has a better argument for it, I'm kind of where I am with it. I love the Cosby Show, too. I thought it was amazing.
Uh-huh.
She was a lawyer. He was a doctor. He worked at the house, you know. He was there when the kids came home from school. You know, he could handle stuff. He could cook. You know, it was like any woman's dream. A black woman, you know, that had a house full of kids, you know, because even back then, you know, there were so many women that were single moms and didn't have that luxury, you know, of being able to come home and your kids are fed and they got their homework done and they were, you know, they had their problems. Lisa Bonet, I'm afraid, was like my least favorite character, only because she always seemed like she was stoned or something. I don't know. She just really did do a whole lot for me. I liked Rudy, and I liked his son.
Theo.
I liked Theo. To me, was probably the most animated out of all of them, only because he was his father's son. And
I'm
going to
say, the writers gave Rudy the best lines.
Yeah, definitely, because she was the baby. You know,
yeah,
until
she was this young little... She was, at this time, the Arnold of from Different Strokes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
that was right.
I mean, she was the young kid that always had the quick little smart aleck remarks that would, you know, send everybody into a stitch, and it was funny.
Yeah.
And you know, it's this show was, okay, Dave, you mentioned himself, the mm-hmm. comedy stand-up routine that Bill Cosby did.
Yeah.
Called Himself, which was hysterical. I thought it was great. There were so many great little bits in it with the dentist and there's a lot of funny things. But a lot of this show I see being influenced by his routine from that specific stand-up mm-hmm. routine from Himself. Like it very well could have been spun off from that. I don't know the full history, but it very well could have been spun off from that stand-up routine that he did.
Yeah.
And I remember watching this all the time when we were, you know, back during these times. And it is a shame that it's been tainted, you know, by the accusations and things that have come to pass about Bill Cosby. It's too bad that, but you know, as humans, there's so many people that have some seriously deep flaws that these things are bound to happen, whether you're famous or not. I mean, you know what I mean? I'm not.
No, the only reason we know about it.
I'm not trying to excuse him.
Famous.
Right. I'm not trying to excuse him by any means. What he did was wrong. But at the same time, it's just as humans, we are all at fault in one way or another down the road. He may have had more extreme fault. But really, it's hard to, and it really, you really don't want it to take away from your memories being part of your, you know, this, I mean, the 80s, the three of us have talked about the 80s for a couple of years now. And it's such a huge part of our growing up and our culture, our own personal culture, that having this bad news come up about certain people in that time frame, it kind of strikes hard. It really hits hard, and you're really disappointed, and you're like, you want to still love the show, but at the same time you're like, really, I should not support this, because you know, this person did something that was not acceptable.
Right.
So anyway, Serious Scott is out tonight.
Pardon. Yeah, the comedy routine, though, I mean, even to this day, I'm still using references to it, because probably a few months ago, I hear my wife doing the routine with our son, not on purpose, not like she's repeating the routine, but it's real life. You know, it's like, go up to the shower, use soap, then dry yourself off, you know, and I'm like, oh my God, this is Bill Cosby himself, you know, over again, because you've got to explain to yourself, to a 12-year-old, you know, here's what you have to do, because otherwise, you know, like he says, they'll just go up and run around the shower and then get out and say, I'm done, you know, it's hilarious, but, you know, to, I guess, put an anchor on my point, you know, He put himself in this, you know, position of trust. I mean, he became a public figure, you know, and I mean, he's Dr. Huxtable, you know, and, you know, a staple of our youth, you know, and, you know, he portrayed this image, you know, that, his sins now have taken that away. So I you know, it's not an excuse for anybody. You know, anybody that sexual assault, rape, none of that is allowed by any means by anybody. But if you put yourself in a position of trust and a position that people know you and you're publicly well known to, you know, like Matt Lauer, know, You put yourself into that spot, and there's a higher level of scrutiny. Unfortunately, that's just the way it is. And yeah, the people that had gotten rid of Matt Lauer, for instance, knew that. You know, but you know, it was just because this guy's not trustworthy anymore. So now it's like the Bill Cosby situation. You know, after all these years, you're like, I love this guy, but maybe I shouldn't have, because he's an asshole.
Right.
You know, and unfortunately, that's where my head's at, my headspace. And I want to still love the people that were legends of my early youth, be it Bill Cosby or be it Hulk Hogan or be it Michael Jackson. But then they turned weird and they became something else. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I, yeah, that I'll get off my soapbox. Sorry.
Serious Dave is out tonight too, isn't he?
Yeah,
Dave, it's Scott, ladies and gentlemen. Because I'm always serious.
So, do you think we've covered the Cosby Show enough?
I think so.
Okay, let's move on to 97.
We're on to 97. So we're top music album. Where were we at with that?
I don't think we picked one.
So no, we did not. I didn't give you one. But the number one album was No Doubt with
Gwen Stefani.
Gwen Stefani.
Yeah.
And it was, what's it called? I can't remember the name. I had it written down. Anyway, it was No Doubt's album.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, I'll find it. One second. Give me.
Yeah.
Be right there. Tragic Kingdom. Okay, that's the name of the album. Yeah. Now, it overlapped 96 and 97. It went back into 96 by 2 weeks. It held the number one spot in the last 2 weeks of 96. So it really held a total of 8 weeks. But in 97, it held the number one spot for 6 weeks. That was the longest number one album of the year. All the rest were like, you had Puff Daddy that had one that was No Way Out that was like every 3 or 4 weeks it would pop up, 2 or 3 weeks it would pop up as the number one. But for the most part, it was, it was Tragic Kingdom by No Doubt. And then after that, the next two like runner ups, I guess you would call them, was Life After Death by Notorious B.I.G. And that was only 4 weeks. Yeah, 4 weeks. And then Spice by Spice Girls was another 4 weeks. So, but all the others for the rest of the year were like 1 week. There were one week there. It was one album that was number one, and then it would skip to another album, and then it would go to another album. So 97 was really all over the board with this. I do remember No Doubt being very popular at this time in the late 90s. And in that time frame, actually, right before, I lived in California from 95 to 97 with my wife. And my sister was dating a guy that lived in the area. It's a little town called Garden Grove. And they are from that area, No Doubt, and Gwen Stefani. They're all from that area. And he knew them all. This guy knew them all. He's like, yeah, these guys, and this was probably like 95 or 96. He's like, these guys are going to be huge. They're really getting a lot of attention, you know, and I've talked to them and they said that they're getting, you know, offers from offers from production companies and whatnot. And it was kind of interesting to see them, that they actually did get huge, and then Gwen Stefani going off on her own. I'm looking at the playlist or the listing for the album itself, which is funny. The track listing, it no longer has side one or side two. When you look it up on Wikipedia, there's just one long list of songs, which shows that it was only released on CD. So Spiderwebs was very popular. Just a Girl was probably their biggest one. And then Don't Speak was another big hit for them. My wife got this album when it not too long after it came out. And she fell in love with it. She played it over and over again. So every time I was in the car, she'd have the CD in there or whatever. And so I got to know quite a few of these songs. Sunday Morning. There's a few more. I can't remember the names, but it was overall, I would say it was a good album. It was fun. It was upbeat. It was well done. And yeah, it was something that I do remember from the 90s.
So for me, Tragic Kingdom, this album, you know, it was one of those things where it was on a rotation. When I was in the Navy, my last duty station, I was on the USS Essex, and we had a CD player, and there was about, I want to say, 5 to 6 of us that worked in the office, and I don't remember how we got to be able to control what was going to be played next. But, you know, you're out in the middle of the ocean, and it's not like you're going to get radio reception. So you have CDs. And Tragic Kingdom was in that stack of CDs. And I remember this getting played a lot. All these great songs. Sunday Morning, Don't Speak. Loved them all. And the thing that I would love to know about Just a Girl is, you know, is Gwen kind of like giving kind of a throwback to the 80s rockers, you know, that were like tough, you know, rough and tough, you know, being the Pat Benatars, the Joan Jets of the world, you know, because I mean, I realize the message there where she's just like, you know, I don't want to be just a lower class citizen because I'm a girl. Treat me like an equal. And you know, I think she was a stupendous rocker with just great talent. So enjoyed this album. And I'm glad that it was in the rotation when I was on the Essex.
Awesome.
What about you, Rose? Did you have any, experience with Tragic Kingdom?
No, I didn't. Not really a big fan of Gwen Stefani. I've heard her stuff on the radio. I've heard, you know, Don't Speak and I'm Just a Girl, things like that. I have nothing to bring to the table for this. However, I say that because this was kind of like my last venture towards the tail end of the 90s that I was desperately trying to hold on to my love of Christian music and just trying to steer clear of secular stuff. And my kids were up in age and getting to be teenagers, well into their teen years, and they just were relentless. I mean, just, you know, I was basically listened. My daughter listened to Hanson. My son was like Bone Thugs and Harmony. My other son is like listening to Notorious B.I.G. And I'm just getting it from all ends. So I remember some of the Spice Girls. I remember, you know, so 97 was an extremely eclectic hip hop kind of driven year. So the fact that there wasn't anything defined as far as, you know, what was the number one, although it depends on what you read, Spice Girls and Tragic Kingdom kind of, they battle each other out depending on what page you read. But it was just a really weird year for music, I think. Men in Black came out that year, so you had the soundtrack for that. But sorry, I don't have anything intelligent to talk about as far as the album. I mean, I'd be more than happy to go back and listen to it now, you know, 20 years after the fact, and see if maybe, you know, I have a different sense of, you know, what it's all about. But that's all I can do for you at the moment.
I think it's funny. Fine. Yeah, I thought it was funny that you just brought up Hanson, though. Because that was actually, M-Bop was a song that was just discussed last night with me and Kristen. As soon as you said Hanson, I smiled. I can't wait for you guys to hear that episode.
That'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. I actually saw them live, by the way. I took my daughter to see them. You have not lived until you've heard 25,000 screaming teenagers trying to listen to a concert that you don't want to be at. And you can't hear a damn thing.
Yeah.
Nothing. Not a damn thing because of all the screaming. But my daughter, that was my daughter's Jackson 5, so I let her have that. Earlier last year, she went in with her best friend and saw Janet Jackson, and I'm just like, okay, that's cool. Somebody finally got to see a member of the Jacksons. Never did, never got a chance to. Always missed that opportunity, but so she's 2 for 2 now. She got to see Hanson, and I took her to see Smash Mouth too. But, you know, it's okay. My aha moment's coming. I'm going to be patient. Be patient. I'm good.
All right, so you got something else to go with that?
No, I'm actually leading into the next story.
Oh, go for it.
Or the next topic.
Category.
The movie. The number one movie.
I'm king of the world!
I'm overlord. Titanic, which is funny. It came up in conversation tonight without me even saying anything. It was somebody else brought it up totally. Mm. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, this is only, you know, a couple hours ago before we started the conversation. We were at a friend's house. They had a New Year's Day get together and we were hanging out, and somebody there brought up the movie Titanic. I'm like, oh, that's really weird that I haven't heard anybody talk about the Titanic in, you know, several years. And mm-hmm. I'm going to be doing a podcast tonight and we're going to talk about the Titanic because it was the number one movie of 1997, you know, 20 years ago. And here somebody else is bringing it up. And it's just a strange coincidence. Anyway, the story itself is ridiculous, what they were talking about, but I can't go into that right now. So I'm still amazed at how popular this movie became. Now, I understand the fascination with the sinking of the Titanic and how dramatic it was and how traumatic it was.
Mm-hmm.
And, I understand the scope of the movie itself with James Cameron. It was James mm-hmm. Cameron, right? Right.
Yeah.
He always does things really large. He's
mm-hmm.
he does epic type movies. Mm-hmm. And I never got it. I never really understood the fascination with this movie, other than the boat sinking. You know, with in like 45 minutes or whatever the last part of the movie was, the special effects of the boat actually sinking was fascinating to watch. But overall, I just did not get the popularity of this movie.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I liked it for the story that for what it was, but I don't understand why it became such a big thing. And maybe it was because it was a Leonardo vehicle. I don't know.
I like Leo.
Yeah.
I like a lot of his acting. I like a lot of the roles that he's played. He's pretty diverse. A lot of people, I don't know why, but a lot of people don't like him for some reason. I usually
say it in jest, you know, where I'm, you know, I purposely mess up his last name. I say DiCaprio, but you know, it's just me being, you know, the sarcastic person that I am. It's not like I have any kind of ill will towards his acting. I don't think there's anything that I hate for what he's done.
I think he's actually a really, really talented actor, and it goes back to when he was in What's Eating Gilbert Grape with Johnny Depp, and he played a, you know, like a mentally challenged kid. And I, this was like his first role that I ever saw him in. And I was like, how did they get this kid that's got this mental challenge to play this role so perfectly? Like I was sold. I was sold that he was mentally challenged. So his acting of doing that was spot on. And I know that sounds terrible in a way that, you know, I'm talking about a mentally challenged person, but really it was so perfectly played. And after the fact, you know, years later, I saw him in a few other things. I'm like, wow, he's really a good actor. Like when he played he made Bruce Goose.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Gosh. Hugh. Very wealthy. Lots of money. Rose?
Hi. You know what I'm talking? Yes, sure. I know who you're talking about. I just can't think of him.
Okay. It's not just me. All right, good.
Howard Hughes.
Yeah. Howard Hughes. Thanks. It was Hugh something or other.
Who's quicker on Google?
Yeah, Howard Hughes, when he played that role really, really well too. And there's been a few other roles throughout the years that he really does well. So I've always thought he's a really, really good actor. In fact, that one of the best movies that I like him in is Revolutionary Road. And he stars again with Kate Winslet in that movie. And it's just very real and dark and serious and drama, but you have to be in the right mood to watch this movie anyway. So yeah, I never did really get into the whole Titanic movement. I know it was huge and people just loved it and wouldn't stop talking about it.
And I think that's kind of what leads to the crap that people give on Leo is because he's associated with this thing and it's just got so overplayed and you're like, okay, I don't want to hear about it again. Oh great, Leo. You know, and it was because it was everywhere. But the one of the greatest things about this movie was Kathy Bates' character. Love her. So I thought she did really well as Molly Brown in this movie. Loved her matter of fact acting as she always does. So that was
I can't even remember who she played. Like I don't. I've seen this movie once, so I really judged too.
You know, everyone else was kind of uppity because of their wealth and, you know, just being the upper crest, and she was kind of. I forgot how they put it, but like she didn't always have that wealth. So she had this common person mentality about her. Mm. And so she was kind of a helpful person to Jack Dawson's character, you know, whereas like, you know, you and I are kind of cut from the same cloth. Let me help you out here. And here's how you got to navigate through, you know, these jerks. You know, because mm-hmm. they think that they're, you know, higher than God Almighty because they have money. So I like the sensibility of her character.
Yeah.
So what about you, Russ? Where are you at with Titanic? How many times have you been in front of a boat and yelled, "You're the king of the world"?
Never.
Never? Okay.
Are you kidding? I ain't falling off a boat into the ocean. Shoot, and y'all need to quit. Seriously, what's the big deal about Titanic? It's not about the Titanic. It's about Jack and Rose. Honestly, seriously, y'all couldn't figure that out from like the minute he saw her. He like fell in love with her, and she was marrying a douchebag. She was marrying a douchebag Billy Zane because her mama told her to. I mean. Yeah, this is not about the Titanic. It is, and why they put that whole diamond... I don't know what the hell that was about. That was kind of stupid. But, yeah, I don't know. I saw this movie like 4 or 5 times.
And everybody really? That said, have you seen the movie? Yes. And everyone had said, see, have you seen the movie Titanic? Yes, I have. Was it really good? Yes, it was. Can you want to go again? Absolutely. So, yeah, I've seen. Eventually, I had to stop watching it, unfortunately, because reality set in, and I won't get coarse and crass and burst anybody's bubble on the realization that I came to, but I had to eventually stop watching it. Huh. But it's all about love and finding
because,
love.
Because men aren't like that, are we?
And losing love and remembering love. So it happened on the Titanic. It could have happened anywhere else. Honestly, I don't think it would have worked. But because it happened on the Titanic and the Titanic sank and she lost her love forever. Spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't seen it yet. It's
wait, does the boat sink?
OMG. Yeah, I was there. It sank. Anyway. So it's tragic on so many levels. It's just like tragedy, 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 tragedy. Love, 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 tragedy. You know, why do people insist on revisiting Romeo and Juliet? Hello, lovers, destined to be together, destined
forbidden.
To be
apart. It's the forbidden,
it's forbidden love.
Love.
It is forbidden love.
Yeah.
Yeah. And true.
Forbidden
and
fruit.
Mm-hmm. It's a forbidden fruit because you're of this class, he's of this class, and you're not supposed to, you know, love each other. It's like, you know, the Lord of the Manor.
Well, how old is the forbidden fruit story, really?
Hey, since the dawn of time.
I believe Adam and Eve was.
I believe Adam and Eve was the first fruit. Literal version.
They were not
of
supposed to have the fruit. Don't eat of that fruit. But they fucked it all up and ate of the fruit.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this is, you know.
Okay, this is a good point. Thank you, Rose, for bringing us back around to the real story of this. And this is a love story. And I can appreciate that on a different level. Because, like, a lot of people go, oh, Braveheart was just a bunch of barbarians killing each other. No, Braveheart was a full-on love story. It was about revenge. Yes.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was about the revenge of the death of the one person that he loved. Yeah.
Yeah. But it is also a different kind of love story. It's a love of country as well.
Oh, for Braveheart? Yeah.
Yeah.
In a way,
he loved his
woman. But no, you know what? Okay, we're going to go off a little Braveheart tangent here. Because at one point, his best friend... Hamish tells him, you're only doing this for, what's her name? Oh my gosh. The character that.
I'm so hard to
remember. Okay. So he says, this is way into the film too. And after they've, you know, they've gone and they've conquered all those things, he goes, you're only doing this because of her.
Yeah.
And he says, you're absolutely right. So it was more about her than it was about country. But anyway, let's move on.
even that should be the example.
Yes, it is, really. It's about love.
It is about love.
Love, love, love.
All right, so let me go on to an editor's note here, or overlord note. This is directed, you know, I'm breaking the fourth wall. I'm talking to you, the listener. This is the reason why we have Rose on, because otherwise it would have been two dudes saying, Titanic, I don't really get it. And then all of a sudden she jumps in with, it's a love story. And then all of a sudden Scott's turning coat and he's like, dude,
you know what?
You're right. It's a love story. Kumbaya.
Kumbaya.
So I don't know if you guys caught that during the course of the conversation. I wanted to call
it
out. I thought it was funny that both of us were like, Titanic, I don't know if I really get it. And then Rose talk up and it was like, oh yeah, that's right. It was a love story.
However, I will still say I still don't get the hype that it did get. Like I don't think
Rose just told you, dude. She saw it three or four times.
Listen though. But I don't think it was about...
We didn't see it three or four times. She saw it three or four times because she's a girl.
Right.
And we're guys.
I don't
have
think
a
the
woman
popularity...
with us and she's like, I want to go see Titanic again. You'd be like, who are you going to say? You're going to say no to that? Come on. You'd be like, sure, baby, whatever you want.
Scott, did you see Avatar?
I'm sorry, what? Avatar?
Yes.
Yeah, actually, I did.
How many times?
Twice, actually, at the theater. I saw it once.
Why?
Like, in standard.
Why?
And I will tell you, honestly, why? Because I was completely blown away by the special effects.
Absolutely. There you go. It
like
had
completely,
something for everybody.
Like,
it
completely blown away. Like,
absolutely.
I know there
and
were,
you go
there...
in 3D and you see it, and the yes. thing is on fire, and you're reaching out to touch the hot embers, which you honestly wouldn't do if you're in a normal burning forest. But you do that because it just fucking blows you away. Yeah. Well, that was Titanic. Here okay. you have this massive ship that never unsinkable. It was made by thousands of people, and it would never sink. What's the first thing that happens after it hits a fucking iceberg? Bam! Bastard goes down like a drunk sailor.
Okay.
And it's just... And then it breaks in half. And you're sitting there, and you're watching this going, this shit really happened.
Did it really break in half?
Yes. That's how they did a lot of research before they made this movie. The Jack and Rose part, that's the afterthought. They threw that in for, well, we got to get women to come see this. Damn, how do we do that? Let's throw some star-crossed lovers in there and make one of them Leo DiCaprio and some British chick. And
throw in a hot sex scene, too, you know.
There you go. Yeah. A little nudity mm-hmm. for the, you know,
exactly.
the masses. These paint nerds.
A booby shot.
Mm-hmm. Nothing yep. like a little TNA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, no, TNA sells, man.
Yep.
Right? Yep. You had the makings of an epic movie.
So, you know, maybe someday I'll revisit it, but it's 3 hours, and I don't know if I can do that.
Time, it goes by quick though. It does go by. Quick.
Actually, 3:15.
Yeah, I'm not doing it. Sorry. Not doing it. However, though, I will stand in front of my pontoon and yell, "I'm the king of the world." I will do that.
Okay, I will confess, I have done that on the front of a boat before.
And I would think millions of other people have as well. Because who would have thought of before that?
Yeah. So, well, hey, do you guys want to wrap up with the TV show?
We're on 1997 TV show.
Yeah.
And yada, yada, yada.
Yada, yada, yada. Yes, yeah. Exactly. I believe Muffin Tops were very popular in 1997. And I'm not talking about the kind that you see some people wearing physically. These are Muffin Tops that were, you know, from an actual bakery. And also, you know... I actually received a gift this year from some friends mm-hmm. that is the board game of Festivus for the rest of us.
No way.
Yes, I swear.
That is so cool. You gotta take pictures, show us.
I definitely will. And it's got like I haven't even opened like the box yet. We're gonna bring it to we have some friends that we're gonna meet up with soon. That we do a kind of a game thing, you know, game night, board game thing mm-hmm. that we get together with them. And so we're going to bring it over and bust it out. So mm-hmm. it's fun. But if the listener hasn't caught on yet, we are talking about Seinfeld.
I'm sure quite a few people that listen to this podcast already knew.
Oh, yeah. So Seinfeld was huge in the late 90s. And I absolutely love this show. It's hysterical. It's a show about nothing. At least that's the way they pitched it, you know?
Yeah.
when they pitched it to the Hollywood producers with George and Jerry. And it's just, the whole thing is funny. And I actually have been called or referred to as like Kramer, because when I would go and make my deliveries, when I was doing my FedEx route, I was always like on overdrive, you know, go, 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 right? And I would come flying through doors, just like Kramer comes flying through Jerry's door. And there is always one place that she always said, man, you're just like Kramer when you come flying through that door, even though I look nothing like him. But the way I open the door, she knows that she's getting a package. You know, it was at this doctor's office or something. And she's like, she knows exactly when I'm coming through because the way the door opens, that it's me making a delivery. So, yeah, it's pretty funny. But the overall, the show just has so many quirky little strange things that are so relatable.
Yeah.
They make it really, they hit really close to home with a lot of topics.
Yeah.
And they make fun of it. I mean, I've been in so many situations with me and my wife and friends and stuff where one of us, either Chrissy or I, will say, wow, this is like a Seinfeld episode. In fact, it happened today. No, was it yesterday? It might have been yesterday. That the conversation that was going on was like, wow, this is just like a Seinfeld episode. Is that, you know, much of a reference point? A friend of mine that I used to work for, actually, back up north, he was like the biggest Seinfeld fan of all time. And he had, we had bought him for Christmas, we had bought him the Seinfeld trivia game.
Nice.
And we decided to play, it was Trivial Pursuit Seinfeld edition. I think it was Trivial Pursuit. So when we, you know, after we gave it to him, they're like, well, you're going to have to come over and we're going to have to play it now. And of course he knows every episode upside down, inside out. What boy, you turn me. I mean, whichever way you want to look at it, he knows everything about Seinfeld. He just watched them all over and over and over again. And he smoked us in the game, but it was still a lot of fun because you really just remembered a lot of stuff about the show. So I'm really looking forward to playing the board game Festivus to see how it really plays out with the feats of strength and the everybody gets their own little pole, Festivus pole that you work around the board. So it's fun stuff. So, you know, and you have Elaine, her bad dancing, and you have her boyfriend Putty, and of course there's always
Newman.
Yeah, there's so many. Dave, were you able to watch the show during the time?
No, I'd never seen a single
episode.
Or
were you mostly in, what's this, Navy?
No, I never saw it, no. I'm kidding. No, I don't remember seeing it when, you know, it first came out, but I know I've seen probably the majority of the episodes. Okay.
They're all on like Hulu now, so you can watch them all.
Yeah, and this is, I mean, there's so many different, everybody like brings up references to this TV show, and you just get it, you know. I mean, there's not, you know, there's a moment where, you know, there's somebody like at the office and they're on a conference call and you see their eyes getting a little heavy, and then you're like, well, you know, you wish you had a George Costanza situation where you can, you know, put a little pillow underneath your desk. And, you know, I mean, you know, it's like, you know, you love that moment, you know, and maybe about a month ago, I heard my wife say, no soup for you. I get it, you know, and,
or when you get like the spot that's right in front of the store that you're trying to go to.
Yeah.
George Costanza would be very proud of this moment, you know, that you got that spot, that parking spot.
You know, and you know, and if somebody's talking about being a master of their own domain, you just get it. You just get it. And it's because of this show. And, you know, it, when you were talking about Kramer busting into the door, I actually got a visual as you talked about your story mm-hmm. there with, you know, I was like, I can now visualize Scott popping into the door like, you know, Kramer did every day, you know, at Jerry's place. The one thing that I thought was always funny about the background was, I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but trivia, in every Seinfeld episode in Jerry's apartment, there was always somewhere Superman.
Oh, yeah. I do remember hearing about this, but I don't remember, like, looking for Superman in the episodes. But
yeah, I mean, be it like a magnet or be it a picture or whatever. It would always be in there somewhere. Yeah.
What was the name of his favorite shirt?
Oh, dear God.
It was like Superboy or something like that. And it was like a royal blue, like Superman would wear.
Yeah.
My God. I can't remember it. I can't remember now, but I remember there was an episode where, you know, it was his favorite shirt. it's a really funny show. There's so many, it's so topical. And however, some of it, like we've talked about in the past, how some movies wouldn't stand the test of time just because of technology. Some of their topics might not be as relatable now because of the technology changes that we have.
By the way, Golden Boy was the name Golden. Of the
show. Okay, thank you. Golden Boy. Nice. You Googled.
Yeah, I Googled.
This is Golden Boy, yeah. Yeah. But there's just so many quirky things. There's so many times when the guy that I mentioned before that had the trivia game, where we'd be working together and we'd be sending texts back and forth just about work, and then he would throw some random line from Seinfeld out there. We've lost the fat man and we're running lean. or something like that. And I think that was the episode where Newman and Kramer decided to collect a bunch of bottles or cans and take them to Michigan and cash them in for their cash redemption value. Which, yeah, it was just, they just did the craziest stuff on the show. So, anyway, Rose, were you into the show at all?
You know, I lived through, you know, vicariously through other people. I never really got a chance to watch it when it first came out. I tried a few times to get into it. I worked for a bunch of people that they gentlemen were like in their early to mid 30s, and they quoted it all the time. One of my bosses from years ago had a portrait of Kramer in his office, and it was like 9 feet tall or something. And I remember, vaguely remember, like episodes, bits of episodes, like Elaine's character always really kind of made me laugh because she was so neurotic and just so quirky and neurotic, and she had like this Christian boyfriend. Patrick Warburton played, you know, her boyfriend, and he was like super Christian, and she that kind of bothered her, I guess. And
that wasn't
it didn't funny, bother her. Whoever Patrick Warburton's character was, I don't remember. But, so that was that. Of course, her horrible dancing. I remember the muffin tops. I remember the episode where George's fiance died because she was licking
the envelopes for the wedding.
How the hell is that happening? His parents absolutely hated him. The hatred between.
Look who his parents were, too. I mean, those the actors that portrayed them, you got Stiller, Jerry Stiller.
Uh-huh.
And what was her name? She's been in a bunch of stuff too.
Yeah. Yeah, she actually played the voice of Mrs. Potato Head in the
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah.
She's got a very unique voice. So.
Very unique. New York, probably in the Bronx or Brooklyn or something. But so I remember, like, you know, the soup Nazi and just brief little snippets. I mean, when you talk about Seinfeld, it was on for, you know, quite a while. But Michael Richards was always Kramer's character.
Because
I remember Michael Richards from years and years and years and years ago.
He's but been on the fact, a lot of stuff. Like, he was on he was on UHF from Weird Al, his movie.
Yeah, yeah. And he started in a an ABC ensemble show, Fridays. It was going to be the counterpoint to SNL.
Uh-huh.
So Fridays, and there was a lot of people that came out of that. And I always liked anything that he did because they were all improvs too. So, and he always seemed to be like the one that was like really out there that would take that next step for bizarreness, the bizarreness factor whenever he had a character that he was doing. And I don't know. I'd like to be able to go back and revisit Seinfeld, I think. I've just recently, within the last couple of years, have been watching comedians in cars getting coffee. And so it's
that's hysterical.
Yeah, it is. And so I'm not anti-Seinfeld or anything. I don't want anybody to think that. It's just never really had the opportunity to watch it. And then it wasn't until Netflix and things like streaming services like Hulu and Vudu or Crackle or whatever these places, that you have that opportunity now to just sit there and binge watch just years worth of, you know, sitcoms that you liked back in the day, and then you can like revisit them. There is one episode that I kind of can relate to in a little bit. I'm not sure. This is later on. It's like in the last season, I think. And I know you guys watched it, so you'll correct me if I'm wrong. Elaine is on a plane, and she's got her assistant or somebody sitting next to her, and she can't sleep. So she had a pillow, but he asked her where her pillow was. She said it had a hair on it. I can't, you know, it was a curly one. I can't use that. I don't know where it's been, you know. And I'm like, so totally like that. And whenever I see anything that's like out of place, I got to go, oh, I don't even know what they know. I don't know. How the hell did that get there? You know, kind of a thing. So just like, totally in a, so she ends up blowing up the safety vest so she can sleep. I don't think I'd ever do that, but I, you know, she's obviously trying to be resourceful so she can sleep because they're on a long flight, but she's just being an absolute dick to everybody on the plane. So I don't like, I guess in a way I don't really like traveling, and you're such a confined space that you're just gonna weird out when things aren't going right.
It can be very strange.
Yeah. Definitely. But it was a great show. I mean, it had a lot of really cool people on it, and I just, you know, wish I had an opportunity to see it before when it first came out. So
yeah, it was very funny. They had a lot of great topical situations on it.
Mm-hmm.
Hence the name sitcom, you know. Anyway. So we need to wrap this up because it's getting late here, and I got to get the foster dog to the vet in the morning.
Okay.
Yeah. Early. Nice. And I got an hour drive to get there.
No.
Yeah, it's because it's part of when he came off the track, that it's the original vet that takes him off the track, and the track is a little bit further south. Anyway,
cool.
So it's kind of a drive. And so that was our wrap-up of the last 40 years, basically, on the 7th like you said, I like the name, Dave, by the way. The Sevens. The
Sevens, yep.
The Sevens.
Yeah.
And I think next year we'll do the Eights. You know, mm-hmm. At the end of the year we'll do the Eights and go back mm-hmm. and Eights again. And just take a look at the top movies and albums and TV shows.
Yeah.
So, other than that, this was fun. I'm glad you guys were part of it, because if I would have done it myself, it would have been like 15 minutes long, and I would have you know, like, okay, there's my show.
So, well, I think you edit in a few intros, and then all of a sudden, you next thing you know, you've got a 45-minute show. You're good to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, great idea, Scott. You know, and what a great way to wrap up, 2017. You know, for our, our retro podcast. You know, talking about 77, 87, 97. This has been a whirlwind topic, because we've been all over the board, man, from, starting with Fleetwood Mac and ending with Seinfeld. You know, who would have thunk that a conversation would go, through so many different, valleys and mountains. But, it's been fun.
Mm-hmm. Been a blast. Totally.
Absolutely.
So, as we do at the end of these things, we always like to remind everybody how to get a hold of us, and that's through BonsaiRetroClub.com. That's BANZAI. So we have a website out there. It's got a blog, and it's got all the hooks into our social media, so you can get on with following us on Twitter and Tumblr and Instagram, and even drop us an email. So if you want to do that, that'd be really awesome. Actually, even more ways that you can listen to us. And I kind of promised myself that I wasn't going to go off on this tangent, because you're already listening to us. And I think it's kind of silly to be, saying, hey, you can listen to us on Spotify, because you're already listening to us through iTunes or something. So if you found us on Spotify, we're there. If you found us on Google Play, we're there. If you found us on iTunes, we're there. So the reason why I'm bringing this up is just so the fact that if you're listening with a friend and maybe they like what they're hearing and they want to listen to our podcast, but they don't have an iPhone, there's other avenues to get a hold of us, and you can get links to all of those through that webpage, BonsaiRetroClub.com. So please go out there and check that out. There's also something else we'd like you to do with this little thing called reviews on iTunes, but Rose likes to tell us about this.
This is so much fun. So I had an opportunity recently to speak with someone who got a new iPhone for Christmas. And I thought, this looks amazing. Is this the new one? They're like, yeah. I'm like, so, I have a podcast that I do with a couple of friends of mine that you can find on iTunes. And if you listen to it, you can give us a review. And they're like, oh, I don't know. I haven't really figured out how to use it yet. I went, huh? But this is the new one. Oh, no, I never owned an iPhone before. I'm still working out, the bugs on how to get to the places that I need to go to all the time. And I said, oh, okay. Thinking to myself, huh? What happened there? I said, so there is an icon for iTunes, the store. Anyway, by the time I explained it to the person, it was already time for me to go home. But for those of you who are adept with your iPhone and you know exactly where your icons are to go to iTunes and get your music or your podcasts or your books or, because they're all encompassing, they have everything there. And you find our podcast on iTunes, just once you listen to it and you're like, oh, those guys are funny. I like this. Really good point about 1997. Go ahead and go to review and leave us a review. I don't know if they do the star system there. I'm not really sure. It's been a while since I've been on iTunes. But just tell us what you think. Be honest. We're all grown-ups here. And just make sure that you leave us a review, because that way that gives us more clout to do other stuff. Dave understands that part of it. I don't. So I'm going to stop talking. But thank you for your reviews. Thank you for listening. We greatly appreciate your patronage.
Yeah, and really the whole point is the more reviews that we get is the more that people can find us. So that when people are doing a search for podcasts, mm-hmm. you know, that if we have more reviews, they'll have a bigger chance of finding us if they're doing a search for, you know, like I say, a keyword term like 1980s or retro or whatever.
Yeah.
Those with more reviews show up first. That's really the whole point. So that's why we want those reviews, and that's why we keep asking for them. The other thing that we like you to do is through the webpage once again, BonsaiRetroClub.com. There's this little thing called Patreon. Scott will tell us about that.
Oh, Patreon. Patreon's a way that you can help us help support our website, and just if you want to give, like, we have it's just a way to help us continue to build the website, build the podcast in different ways. Maybe eventually down the road we'll be able to have some swag, who knows. That'd be exciting. Wouldn't that be awesome?
I would want a t-shirt with that logo on it. Definitely
I would love it. So especially our new logo. So go and look at our new logo if you haven't. That's Patreon. You can find it through the website. It's at BonsaiRetroClub.com.
Sweetness. So that's really everything we needed to cover. The last thing I wanted to do is just give yet another shout out to Team Hot Stuff. This is actually a internal group from that's on Twitter that Kristen Kaivo has introduced us to, and a lot of great people that we're collaborating with, and it is just a blast. So if you're on Twitter and you're following us, you're going to see just retweets of these phenomenal people that are putting together just great things, being musical artists or radio shows or what have you. And all of them are worth taking a look at and a listen to. So we want to make sure that if you are following us on Twitter, that you stay engaged. Stay engaged with us and, check out these retweets that we're doing and, give some attention to those folks because they're just so talented. I'm so happy to be part of that group. The last thing that I also like to tell everybody is just be excellent to each other. We have a lot of wackiness in this world of people that aren't necessarily nice. And I just think the best advice is to be excellent. Treat everybody like you want to be treated, the golden rule. So let's just do that. What I almost always say is, have a good whatever. So have a good whatever. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 Bonsai!